just walk on back. Don't look me in the eye. Just let me be a mess tonight. Hey, this is Ruthie Collins, and I'm hanging with my guy Donald, and you're listening to Nashville Hits Collecting Dust.
SeaWorld's.
Hey guys, will y'all do me a favor and stop talking so I can hit record? I cannot believe I just missed all of this content.
Oh my God.
Like, seriously.
No, but so in all seriousness,
Ruthie Collins and jacking off doll.
Okay.
That's the title of this one.
Episode.
Tell me you already hit.
This is clickbait for sure. Wait, no, but seriously, like, I've gotten to the point now that I have been better in the last 2 weeks about drinking coffee, but I need to drink less. Like, what is too much?
Well, I think we have to identify how much you're actually drinking first.
Like, I make a pot of coffee, and then this thing lasts me until it's done, and then I'm done.
So what's that, like 8 cups?
I don't know. How much is...
Oh, that?
Yeah.
That's like 2. You're fine. That's what you're drinking?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Seriously?
I drink
if that's all you're drinking. If now, if you have 4 of those a day.
No, I mean, I'll make this in the morning and then I'll start my day and I carry it around with me all day.
When I write, I have 2 glasses in the morning, like 4 while I write, and then sometimes I'll have 1 after dinner.
Mm.
I think you're good.
All right.
Don't take it from me, though. I'm, you know.
I mean, it might be this plus 1, you know, like when I go.
Yeah, that might be like 2.5, but I don't think 3 all tops. Right.
Guys.
Have another. Have another.
Fill it up again. Please.
Do you want me to get my guitar out before? Mm-mm. Okay, cool.
Not now.
Lovely.
You will after.
You can cut and splice. Maybe copy and paste. Whoa. Perf.
I don't think it's questions. I think it's beautiful conversations.
Beautiful, intimate conversations. Mm-hmm.
Because we've already gotten there.
Is that what we just had? A beautiful, intimate
conversation.
I will say this.
Species.
I will say this. We are no longer strangers.
No.
That's right.
I mean, there's a certain level of conversations you can have there where you look at each other and go, we know each other.
Yeah.
I think it was when I made that face that was like, the dolphin. Mm. I think that was the moment.
Which you didn't have to blink that out. I was recording earlier when you actually said the word.
Great.
So.
Great. It's going to be everywhere.
Hey, anything you say can.
And will be used against you in the court of podcasts.
Or for you.
Mm-hmm. However unless you want to look doctor, at it. Then it's, you know.
Yes, 100% her.
Oh, sounds like gosh. A thing Margaret would
always
do.
Always the Maggies.
Classic Margaret. Yeah.
Probably Irish.
Classic hey,
not,
Ruthie.
Not.
I'm so Irish. It's okay.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I mean, McCarty, come on.
But I am Irish Protestant. Ew, so sorry. Internally conflicted all
you
the time.
You win because I can't go beyond, like, Irish because I like drinking?
Yeah. I guess. Drinking's great.
Nah, never.
What?
I thought about it once.
About what?
Drinking.
Drinking. Coffee?
Donald hates going out with me.
It's bad.
Why?
Yeah, well.
Tell me everything.
Let's just say.
Well, you can hear his version, and
first
then I'll
of all,
tell
where
the
do you
truth.
Go? Where do you go out? Where's your jam?
What year are you talking about?
2006.
No, you go to the same place.
It's not true.
I mean,
ish. Yeah.
80% of the time.
Can I guess? Can I guess based on like what you're wearing?
Yeah.
Excuse me.
And like, I don't know. Okay.
Guess what? Like what I was.
Where? About? Like what bars you go to?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
But seriously, what year?
Let's go with 2015.
All right.
Midtown?
Yeah.
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 You too?
Yeah.
Mm. Well, I mean,
a majority of the time. Well, I think there's.
Let's be honest. What are the other options in 2015?
Well,
you know what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Tried and true.
The Mummery and Tin Roof.
No.
I think she considers that Midtown.
Oh, do you?
I think that's pretty close to Midtown.
No,
I
can Midtown,
same sort of vibe.
No, Midtown is like Losers Down.
Yeah.
De Mumbrian is what used to be the Irish pub that's Dan McGinnis. I don't know what it is now.
Yeah.
Down.
Some
Broadway.
I agree with you.
And
Broadway
then
is separate.
Gulch. And then East Nashville is like in another state.
There's like a lot of stuff in the Nations now on West End. There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Who goes there? That's so far away.
Buddy, guys, I'm not saying I go there.
It's like at least a $9 Uber ride.
I'm just looking at a map and naming neighborhoods. 12 South, people go where I live.
Oh, they do. Oh,
they do. They have started. It's more than just restaurants now. Flipside does a little dance party on Friday night.
Oh, that's cute.
Oh, that's cute.
That's cute. People do you go
to Motown Mondays?
I have been to Motown Mondays.
It's a good time.
I'm a frequenter.
See, there's a lot going on here.
So you're a swing dancer.
Oh, I want to be so bad. You know, my favorite is Honky Tonk Tuesday at the Legion. You guys know about this?
No, do tell.
Oh my God, you got to go. It's the best. It's the best life. So it's the American Legion post 82. Just shot a music video there. Actually, it's this one. There it is right there. Appropriately placed on your TV. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
Do what we can.
Anyway, they have Honky Tonk Tuesday nights and the dancing and the costumes and the amount of those little bitty Miller High Life champagne beers, the ponies. It's excessive in the best way. You got to go.
Tuesdays.
You got to go. It's my favorite. It's like literal crazy swing dance people. See, but I don't know. So like I get asked to dance and I'm just like, I'm so sorry. I don't. And then I'm that girl who's so mean, but it's just like, someone teach me.
You know, I think I was born to live in this town is because one, I loved college so much, but people talk about their favorite nights out like you did in college.
Yeah.
Where it's like Friday and Saturday, you're like, yeah, you know, what you're like,
oh, it's never Friday or Saturday.
Yeah, people are like, nah, that's Wednesday, it's just too much. It's like, it's the day of the week. Oh, Tuesday is my favorite for sure. Like, I was like, I used to say that in college all the time. It was
well, that's
awesome.
That's because 80% of people who live in Nashville don't have normal jobs.
It's like Neverland. If you think about it, grow up. It's great.
All you have to do is go to any coffee shop at any point in time and go, do you people work? And we're like, no, not like, you know, 8 to 5 or, I mean, it's just Nashville in general. Yeah. And I don't think that's just musicians. I think that's, you know, multiple people. But
yeah,
it's good times. And as much as you say that's what you love about it, I will say that at some point in time you wake up and you're like, it's been how many years I've been doing this? I don't need another reason. Quit telling me about good places. I need reasons to stay in, you know?
I hear that. Because what day is it? Wednesday? And I thought maybe it was a Monday because I had a tiny little wine hangover.
Ooh.
Just a little one, guys.
So have you heard of Savage Bingo?
No.
Here you go.
How savage is Savage Bingo?
Ask Donald. No.
And where is it?
I've been out of town every time he does it, but
Yeah, it's savage. It's at this place called Headquarters Beer Cave downtown, on 2nd or 3rd Avenue or something like that.
Third.
And yeah, it's actually a cool place. You know, it's like I call it the cooler, well, not cooler, maybe older kung fu. And what I mean, it's got like pinball machines, old arcades.
Cool.
I feel like kung fu is a little bit college.
Yeah,
I don't know what kung fu is.
It's on Midtown, next to Rebar, that-ish, right?
See, I don't cross the river. I don't know these things. You guys have to educate me.
Hey, welcome to Nashville.
Hi, it's so nice to be here.
Yeah.
Wow, the weather is lovely.
Yeah,
we do. It's funny because you were like, it's like when we asked you where something was earlier, you're like, it's out east. And I was like, you mean East Nashville? Like
it's only 10 minutes away. it took me 9 minutes to get
it's
here.
It's out east, I've traveled
over the Knoxville. Great Plains.
She flew in from Knoxville. Yeah. Like it's out east.
Hey, should we get started? Because my audio engineer is going to go, where do you want me to start?
That's the beauty of this.
Yeah. Like we started recording a long time ago, but I have no idea. But we'll go ahead and do an intro.
Bars. Yeah, let's do it.
And then we'll put in what we can.
Perfect. Just leave the dolphin bit out.
Please. I almost feel like I should be doing the outro right now.
Yeah.
I didn't even start it. And we're like, okay.
So that was fun. Right?
Awesome. Cool. All right, let's do it. What's up, guys? Donald, Nashville Hits Collecting Dust. And hey, my Chewy Super Sick McCarty over there. What's up, dude?
It's a beautiful day.
Has been.
We have a lovely guest.
It has been for the last 6 hours already.
I know.
Beautiful day.
Pretty excited for the conversation. I don't know how it can get any better than prior to the start of this.
I'll be honest. I don't know where we started on this. I'm going to let my engineer guy decide. But if you haven't heard anything in the last 30 minutes, we have a special guest. Well, all of our guests are special, but she's a little shy, but I feel like she's going to warm up. And so the last 30 minutes have been really just us figuring out, are we going to be able to get along? Right.
Yeah, right.
Do we have anything in common? Do we have any
nothing.
Type of connections?
Nope.
And we have since realized that we have a lot.
So. I think anytime you can start meeting somebody and coffee is brought up and then you end up talking about dolphins, you know it's going to be a fun conversation.
Dolphins in a context that, honestly, this is a clean show.
Yeah, we can't even really talk about it.
Reach out to us for the real stuff.
Know that it was in a research educational standpoint, but
highly
it
scientific.
But it did have some maybe
graphic.
You
details.
Have to be this age to listen mm-hmm. to what we might say. Yeah. All right, good. Well, but you know, I haven't really introduced you, but the lot prettier voice that you're hearing in the microphone, besides Kevin and I, like the much more pretty.
You guys are so pretty. Is that a word? Stop.
Pretty voice.
I showered.
That's is our guest, Ruthie Collins. Hi.
Hi. So happy to be here.
Hey, thanks for coming to hang out.
Yeah, anytime. Didn't know it was going to be so much fun.
What? I've never asked this to guests that come in. None of our guests have any prep whatsoever.
Zero.
And what were your expectations?
I love flying by the seat of my pants, and you have to do that so much in this career anyway that I heard podcasts and I was like, big podcast fan.
Done.
I'm in.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. In general, love the podcast life.
What's your favorite? Hold on.
How could I ever?
Have you heard any of ours?
No. Flying by the seat of my pants. I had to come in blind. But now I'm going to go subscribe and listen to all 87. How many?
Well, no, here's the thing. You really probably shouldn't listen to my podcast if you don't like amazing people doing amazing things that are very talented. So, other than that, like, you should probably listen.
Okay. Yeah.
You know? But that is why you're here, though.
Yeah.
So cool. That's a very kind of indirect but direct compliment.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you.
So I bring people on the show
that
are...
not to talk about dolphins?
No more dolphins, cool. Please. Cool. I don't know. Let's just move
on. Yeah, we're moving on.
No, really.
Inspiring
thanks.
Topic.
Yeah, where's the button, Kevin?
Buzzer.
Buzzer, right. We were like, we have a tendency to ramble. 30 minutes later after dolphins, we're like, see?
Yeah, I told you. Nice. I can ramble with the best of them.
There's a lot to talk about though with you, in doing the stalking, that
very
I did.
Very complex. I'm like an onion.
We can do the pleasantries. Sure. All right. Let's just act like this is a blind date, right?
Yeah,
to a certain
it basically
extent.
Basically is a blind podcast date. So let's do it.
This is very true.
Is this a speed?
Yeah. Speed well, only date? Because like, I like to skip a lot of the, hey, how are you? Where are you from? Do you have brothers, sisters, stuff like that? Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll just say that like, you know, in Wheel of Fortune, like we're already going to give you the RSTUV, you know, the common letters.
You can find
letters.
All that stuff out. Anyway.
You can find that, right? Mm-hmm. Like on any publication website at the end, we'll say, hey, go to this social media and you'll find those details.
Perfect.
Out. I want to get to the nitty gritty. Like, hey, do you want to have kids or not? Like, you know, if we were.
That's the best analogy you've ever used.
Oh, thank you. I just came up with that. So. Capture.
No, yeah, it's on a podcast. I think it's recorded.
But what's so great about that is like nobody. I don't like small talk. You know, I mean, I can do it, but I would so much rather have like a deep, meaningful conversation any day of the week. So,
yeah, I appreciate you being that way. It's amazing that a lot of people have these different perspectives. I was having this conversation the other day is like you can get so many different opinions before you don't even know what yours is.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And you try to end up being like what. Everybody else says you should be. Yeah. And then you do it to someone who maybe does like small talk. Mm-hmm. And I go, but I just met Ruthie and she wanted to skip the small talk.
Yeah.
And she goes, but I don't even know you. How can you go straight into that deep conversation?
True.
And I'm like, because Ruthie earlier.
I've ruined everything.
Now I took her opinion as all girls.
You can tell. Yeah. You can tell though when someone is like, you know, we met and 30 seconds later, we're having like pretty weird conversations. So you can tell like, they'll give off a vibe. They're like, no, I need the small talk.
Yeah. Well, let's just put this since we're all in this kind of dating analogy. It's funny because if it's the right person, if you want, they really can't be too cheesy, too forward.
Too goofy.
They can't
awkward,
text too much, right?
100%.
But it literally is the difference between saying the exact same text message and a girl going, can you believe he said and did that too? Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God,
that's
can you
so
believe?
Cute.
It's so cute. And I'm like, what is the difference, right?
Chemistry.
Which is,
difference.
Guys, don't try to figure it out. Honestly, just do, and it either
just
is
do
or
you.
It isn't. Yeah, just do you. But I don't know where we're going with that.
I think you were wanting to know if I want kids.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was no small pleasantries. Do you want kids?
That was still an analogy.
I know.
Moving on.
We.
Oh, gosh. Well, I don't know your whole story. I do know that you do a bunch of things, right? Mm-hmm. And you're really good at all of them.
That's very nice.
So I'll preface that. And then I've been working on, which I still haven't perfected in 5 years, my elevator speech, right? Which is what I can say, hey, here's who I am and what I do in 15 seconds.
That's so hard.
I still need 15 minutes.
Yep.
But I feel like you have a lot going on, right? Mm-hmm. So can you maybe sum up just real quick, I want to engage. I just know I can't do it as well as you can, mm-hmm. as far as like what it is that you're passionate about.
Sure.
And what you're working on and doing.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I'm passionate about being a country music singer first and foremost. That's what I moved to Nashville to do. It's what I find joy and fulfillment in. Number one, writing songs. So all that. And basically on top of that, I'm just a super creative person.
Yeah.
And in trying to find ways, I guess, that set me apart from all the other artists in Nashville, kind of became to explore, you know, trying to explore what that meant and realize that it literally started. I was like DIYing guitar straps because I was like, that's fun. And then I was like, oh, those are cute. Maybe I could sell them. And then I was like, I should decorate my really ugly rental apartment because this is really depressing and I have $20. So here's a great way to do it with $20. And then it was like, oh, that's fun. And then friends started asking me to help them with those projects and the label got involved and then I remodeled an Airstream to take on the road and it just kind of snowballed and I was like, this stuff is so fun and now I get to do it all. I don't know about elevators, but.
I mean, there's elevators on 2-story houses.
Also, I like dogs a lot and food.
Dogs and food.
Dogs, food, vintage stuff, Airstreams, country music.
Writing.
That's everything. Writing, songgrighting.
Yeah. Coffee.
Ooh, LaCroix.
Wine, baby.
Wine.
And turtles.
Whiskey. Bubble butt turtles, specifically.
Hey, you did a lot better at your elevator speech than mine. That's great. And there's a lot to that in a sense that, like, I've had this conversation a lot because I'm an entrepreneur mm-hmm. trying to build some, or have been trying to build a platform the same way as an artist. I just don't sing.
Yeah.
Right. It's all about an audience basically communicating a message, right? That says, hey, at the end of the day, I mean, if, you know, Donald's doing something I'm interested in, right?
Yeah.
That's really what you're being you, mm-hmm. but you're documenting you. Mm-hmm. And then people go, they're interested in that. And that's really cool. And I'm having this conversation with a lot of artists and musicians because music in the industry in general is changing, right? So much.
So fast, yeah.
Right. And it's what used to be was, well, no. Here's the process mm-hmm. is kind of there's always no being rethought. Right.
Yep.
And so, you know, you're a creative, but you're also a business person mm-hmm. as well. And so that kind of merging those.
And it's so interesting, the TV side of it, because everyone's like, oh my gosh, have you always wanted to be on TV? And I was talking to one of my best friends who's doing a bit of hosting as well. And she's like, no, we literally are just doing TV so we can do music. You know what I mean? And it's such a fun side of it. And it's totally different. And I love it. And I'm having a blast. But it's like, no, you actually do those stuff now to try to get the honor and the privilege of existing in music as like a musician. And, you know, it's kind of become backwards a little bit. And I think that applies to all the side hustles that everybody's doing. You know, it's just like, just to try to stay in the music industry.
Yeah, it's true. But I actually like it. I don't know the end result of it, but I've always said this from a branding standpoint, mm-hmm. That if an audience connects with you before you hit a note, mm-hmm. I think it makes it easier.
Yeah,
let's be honest. Like instead of going up and going, I hope you like my musical song talent voice.
Yep.
But to get up and connect with an audience that goes, no, I actually love Ruthie.
Yeah,
and then when you hit that note, that's just.
Yeah. Cause it's like they like the lifestyle and it's not just like, I love that song. I need to get that song. It's like, no, I'm going to go out and get everything you do because I like you as a person, which is like the ultimate goal.
And you as a person is the writer of the song.
Yep.
That does obviously create emotion and relatability. Mm-hmm. That now you have an audience that already relates to your lifestyle.
Yeah. And so, I am such an open book when it comes to that. And I think that, I mean, I've had quite a few people be like, wow, I feel like you're writing my diary right now. Like mm-hmm. I literally said all that stuff to my best friend last night about this guy, you know? So this record I'm just about to release is so autobiographical. I've lived every moment and it's not pretty at times, but I think that's important to be honest with your audience. You know?
Well, that's, I think that's what people connect with mm-hmm. is a genuine realness. I used this the other day because when my first quote unquote platform making it happen almost was like, how can I search for what it is? Mm-hmm. You know, almost like the X Factor, right? It's kind of been done, but it was still very, very interesting to me as a friend and a fan in music that I've had a love-hate relationship with the music business because I'm a friend and a fan and the business kind of frustrates me.
Yeah, it's not fair.
It's not in a lot of ways, especially when you hear the talent in Nashville that I've heard over the years and I go, why is the rest of the world not hearing you type thing?
Yeah, it's frustrating.
And to know that it might be, you know, so many things, right? But there was still something. I'll be honest, that every show you go to, if there's a writer's round and there's four people on stage, and let's just put them on the same playing field of talent when it comes to vocal or instrumental, mm-hmm. why is it that one seems to silence the audience? Like, if they're equally talented, yeah. right? And I've always wondered, like, why is that or what is that? Yeah. And I think the best way I know to articulate it after this many years, and it may change in a year. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying that I have found the answer, mm-hmm. right? But I'm just saying the best way I can articulate it now is that there's one, and there may be multiple, so I'm not always saying it's just one, but whoever it is that silenced that audience, it's not all the song, it's not all the vocals. Yes, that is a huge part. Mm-hmm. But there is this kind of sense that they have a security about themselves that says, take me or leave me, I am. Yeah. Right? This is who I am. I hope you like me, but if you don't, I'm good.
Yeah.
Right? And some people call that confidence, mm-hmm. right? That's an easy way of saying it. But it's almost the acceptance of your imperfections
yeah.
that and says they are okay at being vulnerable and actually messing up. And I really wish I had that. Mm-hmm. And that's what is...
It's endearing,
it,
too.
Right? Know? And you can't really say, I'm doing this on purpose. Watch no. me put out this... You can't. It's something that you literally know within yourself that I think maybe is a process, but that's it. Like that's that. It's the law of attraction or something. You're like, I don't know why, but I just want to see and hear more, or I have to just pay attention.
Yeah.
I don't know if I articulated it right, but I think that's it. And what you're saying is like, hey, I just love it. And if I can document it and people want to follow it, then people connect with you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great.
Now I just wish I could sing.
You can sing. Everybody can sing.
Oh, that's a whole nother episode.
Everybody thinks that they can't sing. And this is one of my biggest takeaways from this industry is it's all about time. I was not a great singer. I was a decent singer in high school. I was an average singer in college. And literally I am the underdog from my college. And people will come out and be like, when did you get so good? And it's like, after I did it for 10 years, because okay. it's just like, if you want to learn guitar, put in guitar, like put in the hours playing guitar. I'm telling you. And I watched my guitar player do it. He got to be a really great singer just by singing all the time and practicing. And I think, yeah, there is an amount of talent that you are born with, but you can take any voice out there and make it infinitely better just by putting the time in. I promise you. People don't ever believe that. And everyone's always like, I can't sing. And I'm like, I bet you can.
Mm.
It's just about what you decide you want to be passionate about in life yeah. and what you're going to spend your time on.
I mean, it's just like, to me, it's just like anything. And it's like one of, okay, like a lot of very, very skilled pro athletes have mm-hmm. the same thing where yeah. it's like some are just born with, okay, mm-hmm. you can't help it. But that's
yeah.
a small, small, small yeah. percentage of them. But then a majority of them had a lot of talent and were very similar to other players, but they just put in the work.
Yep.
And then they made it.
There's that like great Steve Martin quote about, you know, when he first got going in LA and was having success, and he was like, someone asked him like, why you? You know, why are you so much better than everyone else? And he's like, I'm just the only one I know that is still here. You know, all his friends had moved yeah. away, you know, and he was like, I'm just the only one left.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a lot of that to it.
That's awesome.
No, that's great. I love that, you know, quote. In a lot of ways that I don't know if it directly applies, but even the belief system of Frank Sinatra saying that, you know, I played Frank Sinatra until I became Frank Sinatra,
yes,
you know,
I
and so
that.
He had that belief that, well, here's who I envision that I am. And I keep mm-hmm. going. I don't know if it's funny or not, but the difference is of like not so yeah, on an athletic field, right? I may get better at, you know, being an athlete.
Yeah.
But when you start out singing mm-hmm. and other people are hearing, it's very painful for people until you get good. So
it's true.
You're dealing with a little
like,
bit more.
Soundproof practice rooms.
But I will say this. Go most places outside of Nashville and those singers, you're like, whoa, like you're not that great.
Yeah.
When you go to like where they came from, they're probably the best in the
best.
Town.
Yeah.
It's true. All right. I'll give you that. But I may have waited too late.
Never
I'll still
I mean,
talking.
Donald, you're Never from South Alabama. I think if you go back and I've heard your karaoke skills, I mean, I think people will be like, Donald's the best singer I've ever heard. And but here's the thing. You may very well be, like, live and in person. Like, maybe they haven't left that small town. And they
I do have a go-to karaoke song.
What is that?
Ruthie.
What is that?
Well, it's more of a duet.
Ooh.
Honestly, I actually need help.
Okay.
But I at my go-to karaoke, and it's actually better, I guess, if it's two guys. I don't know. But I have never tried with a girl, so right. on this duet, but it's...
Suspense is killing me.
Yeah, it's Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Oh, what a great choice.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. We're going we're going downtown after this.
All right. Totality or...
It's fine. There's just no recording devices around. We'll go.
I think we can voice memo it. It's going to be okay.
You're right. Perfect. No, it is fun. I do. And I've said this many times. I have the passion for music, but maybe you're saying I have the ability, but right now my belief is I don't. How's that? So.
Well, you believe, or what is it?
You are what you believe. That's right. Yeah. That's correct. That's all right. I enjoy talking. So we'll stick with this. Well, that's awesome. So, I mean, a lot of these, what are they calling it now? Like there's terms for kind of who you are, what you're doing, like you're pursuing music because that's your passion, but mm-hmm. like you're, would we say, no, like a social media influencer?
Oh, that's nice.
Is that like a thing
taste
now?
Well, I someone think called me a tastemaker yesterday and I was like, that's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. And then I called my dad up and I was like, Dad, I just had a meeting with this production company and they told me I was a tastemaker. And he's like, a taste, what? And he's not from the South, so I don't know why I said it like that.
He was from
like,
New York.
I was like, yeah, he's from Western New York. I was like, a tastemaker. And he's like, a cake maker? I was like, Dad, a tastemaker. And he's like, what is that? And I was like, it means like someone that people follow, but like a nicer way of saying that. And he's like, oh, so you're not tasting anything?
Wait.
He's like, that term's confusing. I'm like, yeah, I get it.
A little bit.
My sweet dad.
Wait, so is this the same thing as like a trendsetter?
Yeah, but I think it's like a little classicer than that. Would you agree?
Yes.
Trends are
I wouldn't say it's a trend. Quickly. Yeah.
I think a tastemaker is maybe somebody who, and I'm not saying I'm a tastemaker. I was just so tickled.
I think so.
That's so nice. I think it's someone that like, as the trends move, people stay with them, with that person to see what trends they're moving with or not, you know?
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, I see here you do a couple of different things, and I think that's what Donna was talking about. The Pinterest pass or fail, mm-hmm. the DIY stuff. I mean, that's all kind of just part of your package. Mm-hmm. And I think that might be where it's hard to label that.
Like, yeah. Yeah. And it's really interesting when you're creating a brand, you said something about the Frank Sinatra quote. That's like, oh yeah, that's so true. But it's also so scary because when you're working to create a brand and a lifestyle, you have to be really careful. And I think that's where that like staying authentic and the vulnerability comes in, because I unknowingly created a brand that is much more of a perfect person than I will ever be, right? And when you break it down, it's like, okay, so it's this country singer who writes songs. And I mean, I just feel like if I were to embody the ultimate success of that brand, I would be like, you know, having 6 babies on my hip, baking a fresh apple pie and having 6 Grammys on the wall and like all these things. It's like nobody could ever achieve that amount of like, just that's how I'm so awkward and like I'm not that person. So it was like, oh crap, I gotta be careful and make sure that like I don't try to be that way all the time, you know. And I had a friend be like, you know, you have to take your cape off, like Elvis, you know, you have to be able to take your cape off at the end of the show and just turn it off and be okay and not try to actually be that artist all the time, you know. And he was telling me that, you know, Elvis could never do that, and that was one of the biggest tragedies about him. And I've got a close friend who's like brand is being super sad and dark and artistic. And it's like, you got to take that off sometimes, you know, because so it's interesting. Like you build this brand and this lifestyle and you want to embody it all the time. But then it's like, well, you got to take care of yourself so that you can maintain and be honest with people about like, sometimes I'll just like take an Instagram video of my room and be like, look how messy this is. Those Instagram pictures lie, you know, like this is not real life. So,
well, you're bringing up a perspective that is confirming one thing, but also making me aware of another, I guess. So I used to say, and I think we've all heard that, you know, a lot of times because of social media that was kind of created to connect is, mm-hmm. is having also an kind of an isolation effect. Yeah. And it's because we are seeing other people's highlight reels, yeah. right? We're seeing either the best of the best or maybe even something that was kind of created that's not real. Yeah. Right. And that's kind of on the side of what we're whatever. But you're bringing up the other side too, as actually being that person that maybe people are following and looking and going, wait a minute, now I have to live up to these.
Now I have to look
standards.
Like that. I have to talk like that and be that. Like yes. nobody can do that
all the time. Mm-hmm. And like, how do you do that? And because at the end of the day, you know, we're all imperfect, right? Uh-huh. And so,
yeah. And it's like sometimes a label will be, or someone will ask me to be like, hey, can you just hop on your phone real quick and do this 2-minute cover? And I'm like, yeah, but that's going to take me 2 hours, you know, because it's like, now I got, I'm in my hot yoga clothes. I look a mess. The kitchen needs to be clean. So it's like, it's not just like hop on your, because you don't look like that all the time. You don't act like that all the time. And it's like, now I have to create this environment in which you can be, especially with how much content people are in Insta stories and Snapchat. It's constant.
It stresses
you know?
Me out.
It's
it
a
really
lot.
Does.
It's fun, but it's a lot.
And so are they saying, hey, just do it.
Just do it real quick.
Just do it real quick.
Oh, no.
No, that's the request, but they want it perfect.
Yeah, they want it
perfect.
Got it.
Okay.
For sure.
But are you saying, like, me, I feel like I just want to get on there and do it right now. I don't really care. Or is it?
No.
That's the thing is we all care, even though we say, hey, I want to be real and authentic. But let's be honest.
But it's I'm, like, still going to do my hair, you know?
Got it.
I mean, every once in a while, I will, like, snap out of hot yoga and be like, this is my hot yoga face. But that's because it's funny.
Right.
You know?
I mean, I think that's what we're saying is like,
yeah, you have to mix it in for sure.
Yeah. Is that document side of it that we talk about a lot?
We've had this conversation a lot, Kevin. Yeah. You're right. I think where I'm still getting caught up is this mindset of like, honestly, this podcast works for me because I know there's like a start and a stop. And it's to me, it's a show, right? Mm-hmm. But social media is never really a start and stop to me. It's a, could be 24/7, but it is a, because we talk about document, don't create, right? Mm-hmm. If the mindset of I'll just document, not create or perform, but that's harder said than done because as soon as you're genuinely doing something and as soon as you think, oh, I need to capture it, switches the mindset of it being completely genuine.
Yeah. You get cheerleader shoulders. That's what we call it.
Cheerleader shoulders?
Yeah. Oh. It's like you can just be sitting here having a conversation, but then as soon as that camera goes on, I'm like, so... I am Ruthie Collins, and I've had 6 cups of coffee today, and everything's so great.
Oh my gosh.
But then the camera turns off, and then you go straight to like, was that okay?
Yeah.
Like, that was good. I was like, wait a minute. I wanted what you just said to me right then. Like,
yeah.
And you're like, all right, do it again.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Chill your shoulders.
Oh, that's good.
But it takes a while to not do that anymore. You know, it really does. It takes a while of being behind the camera. And
when in front of a camera as I can be, it's when I, even what I'm doing right now, I'm trying to capture it. Like I'm trying to get used to like holding something. So I know it's kind of not there so I can get, it might even take 5 minutes, but at some point when I forget it's there, then you will capture me. But I'm still quote unquote the cameraman too.
Right.
So, you know, half the stuff I don't, but I was filming a friend the other day who, you know, we're having the same conversation. I have these coffee conversations all the time, whether you're a musician, entrepreneur, whatever.
Yeah.
And I go, in a lot of ways, what my message or brand, what I want it to be, I would just love for a camera to be on this conversation without me ever knowing that the camera was on this conversation.
Yeah.
Because I'm having a lot of conversations with a lot of people about the same things of this anxiety of what's my purpose, what's my calling, what should I be doing? I just don't know. Like the uncertainties of just the journey in general, right? And they're very real and they're very authentic. It's not that I am sitting here going, well, here's your answer. It's literally documenting the process. But as soon as I go, can I record this conversation? It changes everything, right? And that's how I don't know how to document and not create. Because I don't want to ruin the moment of the conversation that we are having by going, hold on. Except on this podcast, which is meant to be recorded.
Right.
Because that's why you came, right? But it is very interesting that you are very good
too,
at it.
That is like really, I totally get what you're saying, but like creating is really interesting too. It's like, I love a very highly edited podcast and that's the same kind of thing. It's like, there's a lot of cool production value to that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know,
when
so
I separate that on like your artistry, your writing, cause you're a professional artist, you're a professional writer. That is your job. And absolutely. I love all that.
Yeah.
I'm going on that side of documenting.
You're trying
you.
To find real
well, just the personal branding from a lifestyle standpoint. But yes, I love even watching the process of you switching from here's my do it myself stuff to now I'm going to write a song and then I'm going to record a song.
Yep. Put on the different hats.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting too, because like Instagram is just wild. Like I used to just post to Instagram and then all of a sudden it was like, I read this book about creating content. And I started to have like people following me around, take pictures, which is the least authentic thing you could ever do. Cause it's like, oh, hey, I'm just having a cup of coffee outside this beautiful cafe. And there's a bottle of rosé on the table. Just
catching me at the right angle at the right time.
There's a bouquet of flowers and everything just looks so lovely. And it's like, yeah, cause I bought that stuff and I put it there for the good picture. But it's so confusing for me because I actually love that stuff in a way that it's like, I love going through those pictures, editing them. It's another art form to me.
Oh, yeah.
And as a visual person, that's super fun to do. But I'm like, this stuff is not real at all. But it's so pretty to look at. And visually, like...
And if it's your passion to do what you do, then that technically is real.
Yeah, I guess it's right? And it's so interesting because people are like I feel shame about asking, like, someone if I'm out. And I'm like, I gotta take this picture, you know? And I'll be like, ask my band member or something. I'll be like, I'm really sorry. Can you just... Or I've even, like, paid an Uber driver, like, $20 to, like, take a picture of me at the airport with my suitcase because I was trying to tell a story, you know? And it's, like, all these things you feel like, I'm really sorry. And it's like, no, don't apologize. Like, this is part of my job. I'm doing my job by doing this. Like, but it's such an interesting thing. And then once you start doing it and they're getting more likes, then you're just random content. You're like, okay, well, this is what people want to see. It's just to pepper it in with the real stuff too, I think, to find a way to do that. Hmm. What's the question?
I haven't formed it yet. I have it in my head. I just don't know how to ask it. Because, you know, like in anything that we do, whether it be the show, whether it's your job, whether it's a song, whether it's a concert or whatever, there's always a beginning. There's always an end. Mm-hmm. Here's the problem with social media. There's not a beginning and there's not an end. In other words, where do we go?
It's just a stream, ending stream.
Yes. And it's, let's not paint a negative picture. I think it's just a question more or less to be aware of. Like there's a self-awareness that goes, hey, look,
and social media,
this could be dangerous in ways, right? So let's be self-aware and be okay with it is what it is, right? And then, but it's hard to say because it changes so much, even in technology. I mean, where's Instagram and what did Snapchat do with stories that now is stories? And so where it used to be a post, now could be a post that's a video, but now that it's a post that only lasts 15 seconds and is only there for 24 hours.
Right.
And you're seeing the evolution. That's just in the last 2-3 years, right? So in 5-10 years, I don't know. It's just something to be thinking about.
Well, and it's like, we don't have any concrete research because social media is such a new thing. We have no idea how it's going to affect even artists' careers. Mm. You know, we have no concept. It's just such a new thing. And I agree with you because I'll sit there, I'll do these photo shoots with my friends and then we sit there and we edit these photos for hours. And I'm like, what is the repercussion long-term of me staring at a picture of myself and photoshopping the crap out of it and like making sure my filter is right and then you can't see my hormonal acne and like, oh, I got to take that arm and make it skinnier. Like what is the long-term? There has got to be some bad, bad effects long-term. And she's like, there's not, you know what you're doing. You know the game. You're self-aware enough to just, we're never going to turn to those people. And I'm like, as long as we keep having this conversation, I guess.
If you have that person that goes, hey, by the way, here's reality.
Yeah, go take the trash out now. You know, it's like, but it's scary. It's like, it's weird.
There was a book I read. It was like The Musician's Guide to Survival a couple of years ago. And it was talking about like the report card. Mm-hmm. And it's saying, hey, when you first released an album, how did it do the first week, second week? And there were specific KPIs. So like, how are you doing? And you could be very benchmarked, like this is good, this is not good. Wow. And then it's saying like now it's one of those things like how many more email subscribers did you get this month? How many more followers? How many more this, that, and the other? But there's no context to it of like what's good. Like what, like in, with albums, it's a definitive, hey, this is what this level means. Social media is not that way. And so it's confusing to a lot of people. They're just like, we want more. And it's like, more what? Like to when? And how do we know that we've made it or whatever? Or is it just ongoing? Back to your point of like the story where like it's confusing to a lot of people to be like, well, why am I just doing it because I want more followers? Or why am I doing it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so there's not that scorecard to go, you're doing great or you're doing bad. I just feel okay about it. It's confusing. So, I mean, I don't know the solution is to it, but that's the conversation of like,
yeah, I think, I don't know the solution either, but you have to first identify what it is. I did hear this. I mean, this is the irony of it. You can get, the first time you get 100 likes, right? They've actually have done research that it does almost produce the same endorphins, that sense of affirmation, sense of worth and value, right? Maybe you've heard that, maybe you haven't, but that's true. All right. So here's the thing. Then you get 1,000 likes and then 50,000 likes, maybe even 100,000 likes. And then for whatever reason, at some point, you know, you go from 100,000 back to 50,000. Here's the thing. It's still 50,000 likes.
Yeah.
But guess what you feel? Because now it's not 100.
Bad. Yeah.
And
like you failed.
Right. Or you are failing. So therefore it causes this, I am slipping, I'm losing. So therefore now you kind of make dramatic decisions. But at the end of the day, it's this self-worth and value that, I don't know. I'm guilty. I mean, I've never had that many likes before, but like you were lying to me and everybody else, including yourself. If you say that you don't go, I got a bunch of likes or you didn't, and it and did not going, have a feeling.
What was it about that picture? Which, which is it the outfit? Is it the song I was singing? Is it, it's like, oh my gosh, like
all the hashtags.
Yeah. There's, it's just, it'll drive you crazy. I know people who still have their notifications on. Like, so that when every time somebody likes their picture, they get that little hit and it's like, dude, turn that off. You're going to go crazy.
If they, yeah. If they've got a,
I've never had enough thousands of likes followers to actually have to turn a notification thing.
There was a funny video and it was somebody that had 8 million followers and they posted something and they turned it on and it was just crazy. I mean, it was like a waterfall just people liking it.
Wow.
And he was like, obviously I can't do this, but he turned it off. He was like, this is what it looks like to have 8 million followers.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
That's kind of cool.
That's an interesting, I mean, my brain
it's a
goes
great conversation
to the,
to have.
Yeah. My brain goes to the whole, like, at what level, from an annual income is like happiness. Right. And they did that study for a really, really long time of like, when you reach a certain level, when is like the, okay, you're never going to be happier making X amount of dollars. And it was like 73,000 or something like that. And so it makes my brain go to that. Like, where's that level?
Yeah, where's the cap?
A little bit. I don't know, but that's where my brain went. Because it makes a ton of sense. Like, at what level you're like, whatever.
No,
like,
it's not. I don't even know what movie it is, but he was like this wealthy stockbroker. And it was always like, what's your number? Meaning, what number it is that you can quit retiring? And he said more. It wasn't. Yeah. It was just more.
Shia LaBeouf's in Wolf of Wall Street.
You're right.
Or not in Wall Street, like the newer version.
Yeah. So, and that's always going to be the
case. That's so true with this industry, though. The little bit of success you get, and then you want more, and all of a sudden your goals change. You know, I think all we ever wanted was, all I ever wanted was to just to be able to live on music.
Mm.
You know, and then you get there and you're like, well, now I'm on a number one, you know, and I haven't had a number one, but I know friends who have had number ones. And, they're
and guess
like,
what? They
feel,
want two number ones after that.
I don't feel
that.
Any better about myself than I did yesterday. And I just accomplished my dream and I still feel the same. You know, if they're depressed, they're still depressed, you know?
It's yeah.
Like, and then you just want, it's like the number is always more, you know, but I think it's just, you know, it's more about. I think about like an Emmylou Harris or a Dolly Parton who have had these sustaining careers where they don't have to, even like Bruce Springsteen, they don't have to be making music anymore. When you look at it and you do what you do because you love it and you're never going to stop. Like, I know I will still be sending work tapes to my best friends when I'm 80 for sure, because I can't not do it, you know? And when you find that thing that you can't not do and you'd be doing it anyway, you know, that's where it's like, maybe it's enough instead of more, you know, because it doesn't feel like you're doing it for anybody else.
Well, it's a great message. And I think that's part of your brand image. And I'm sure it comes out in your music too, right? Mm-hmm. Like this, cause you write about you in situations. Mm-hmm. So that's the best time. But that at the same time, that's the it factor too. You're not really creating. It's just you're documenting, but that documenting even those personal feelings within your music. So
yep.
I love that. And you were speaking my language in a lot of ways, because this is the first time, Kevin, we've kind of had this conversation.
Right.
You know, not that we have the same conversation with every guest, but this has been a lot more in depth of the bigger aspect of just being personal branded.
Yeah. Right.
Which is an artist.
I think it's a thing that you've talked a lot about.
Yeah.
Because that's really on the same path that you look at. And it's nice to have a counterpart here that...
Yeah, well, you know, because I've heard some, that's why I'm so interested. And at the end of the day, I think a lot of people are going to relate to this, because there's really not, I don't know, too many people. I mean, if my mom's on social media and kind of like everyone is affected by it, right? Regardless if it's your career goal or not, like you're just affected by it. But Yeah, I don't have all the answers. I see a lot of the dangers, and then I see some of the results, even in high schools, where, you know, even the act of bullying has changed since I was in high school, right? And so bullying used to be where, you know, it was either physically, you know, and or it might have been gossip, but it took weeks for word to spread.
Your safe place. You could still go home to your house and your parents and your family and be away from it, and now there's no escaping it.
Now it's, you can create any social media account like this, spread a rumor, and done.
No, it's in the workplace. It's for sure in my industry, and you put politics in the mix, and it's like now we all have like our opinions, and now we feel like we finally have which whatever they are, if they're liberal or conservative, we all are so puffed up right now that like there's so much of that even as adults. It's crazy.
Yeah,
I mean the stuff that people say online is like.
I battle with it where it's like I want to consume my mind and my time and attention with things that are helpful and valuable to me. But it's like I battle internally of like, but I think I should know what's going on. But then once I go to that point, I'm like, now I'm just fired up. But it's like, oh, now I don't feel good though, because then I'm fired up about something that's not.
And that is like the thing that everyone is talking about right now, because nobody wants to get on Facebook and see what Donald Trump has done today.
Right.
Because it doesn't make us feel good. No matter what side you're on, it's like either you're, and then there's all these other people that are like, no, or you're vice versa. And it's like, but if we're angry and there's things that need to be done and said, it's like, I know that for me, this was the first election I ever felt like I needed to be a part in. Mm-hmm. And I've never felt that way before. Mm. And
well, what's the outlet now? Let's talk about that. What is the outlet that I actually... because I never comment on any.
I don't either.
Because even if I have the answer, it's pointless for me to try to communicate it on social media. So I just don't.
I don't think that Facebook. I don't know.
But my point is, what is the outlet to get news without opinions? Knowledge. That's. I think that's the question. Because I mean, and I don't want to get into any specifics, but that was almost the point that I just saw in any NFL issue was like, I just want to watch something without me having to take
a side.
That side of this.
Yes.
But, and I'm not getting into whether it's right or wrong, should or shouldn't. Right? That's not the point.
Yeah.
It's give me, as a human being, what outlet do we have?
Yeah.
Because, and I think this is going back over the years. I mean, you can go all the way back to Dixie Chicks, right? Where it's like, can I come and just have a good time at a concert?
Nope, apparently not anymore.
It's I mean, it's taking away people's escapism.
Yeah.
And so like Sunday afternoon, I want to watch a very terrible Bengals football team and get frustrated and angry then go back to life. I don't want to hear about anything else. I just want to get mad about the play calling and all these other things. Same thing with music, right?
Yeah.
Like people are like, I want to escape my problems, issues, and all that stuff. But now we're hearing about it while we're doing this. And you're like,
I can't,
I'm at a loss for what to do now because my whole
everything
life has been
puffed up.
Just like, this is where I'm going to go, my happy place.
Mm-hmm. Like you said, on both sides. Like it doesn't even matter which. No. It doesn't. It's like on both sides. So,
and I don't know. I don't think there is an answer to that. And I think that's why so many people are so frustrated, because we don't even know if the words coming out of our mouth are true or not, you know? And it's like, yeah, you certainly can't get it on Facebook. Like I listen to a lot of NPR, but we all know that's very left slanted. So you kind of have to go to the news outlets that you trust, but also know I mean, have you guys seen Newsroom?
Yeah, I love Newsroom.
God, so good. We need a Newsroom.
So you're right.
We need someone who's just going to tell us the truth, not be biased.
Love it. Here's the best advice I heard on this, and then maybe we can get into fun stuff.
Yeah,
maybe, this is a phenomenal conversation. I love it. But here's kind of what, I mean, but here's the thing. I could do this all day.
Yeah.
I've heard this, is take both sides and look at the most, like, so MSNBC and then Fox and whatever the story is, then compare the two, and wherever they overlap is
probably
the facts or probably the real thing, because they're all going to have their spin on it left or right, but like the main gist. But you have to do that work, and then in my mind I'm like, I don't want to do that. Like,
well, has anybody done that? Is there like a is there like a news outlet blog that would send
that's my point.
Your
like,
everyday? Is it Skim? Do you guys have Skim?
Yeah, I like Skim.
Skim's cool. They need a Skim for like unbiased reporting.
Yeah.
That's
this
like,
is
this
really
is what they said.
Too.
This is what, it's super funny. It's entertaining. This is what, you know, Fox News said. This is what CNN said. Here's the in between.
Yeah.
And you can read quickly the summaries of.
I mean, I'm sure there might be that outlet. I have no idea, but that's a brilliant idea, because then you're just like, there's no twisting of words and those type of things.
It's just the facts, yeah. So that, and also I would like to create a Harry Potter dating app.
Okay, details.
Go I don't really have all the details. And honestly, like I'm pretty down with the Harry Potter, but I'm not like a super fan. So I would need to hire someone who was definitely a super fan. But how cool would it be if like you get on the dating app, you put in like all your profiles and your bio, whatever you want to do, and then it sorts you into a house, okay? And now you, if you're Slytherin, and then like, oh gosh, what's the other one? See, this is how on Harry Potter day.
Gryffindor.
Okay, so if you're Gryffindor and you get like you can't get matched with someone from Slytherin unless you have like friends who connect you like through social media. And if you know like five Slytherin folk, then maybe you can get matched together. And you can have like trivia sessions where it's like if you don't know these 10 questions, like you don't or like what are your moral values on like, you know, when Dumbledore died or whatever. You know what's your just think it'd be super cool.
So as someone that's developing an app, that's it's not terribly difficult to do that.
Okay.
But
before we get to that, I have so many questions right now.
It's going to cost you.
My first one
I have all the money in the world.
Well, perfect.
Yeah, money. Really, money's not an issue.
Totally not.
My first question is, well, it might be twofold, but if you're not like a huge Harry Potter fan, mm-hmm. then you wouldn't do it because you are a huge Harry Potter fan.
You would if the chicks were there.
No. I'm talking about you who has the idea.
Okay, cool.
We're talking about you, Ruthie. Yeah. This show is about you. Okay. So you're in the chair.
Yeah. It's probably not what I'm going to spend my life on.
All right. So if it's not that, then you're passionate about dating. And are you dating? And you won't date ways to date apps or meet people.
Actually, that's totally what it is. I am dating and dating sucks. And there are no men in East Nashville. You know, I don't cross the river, so I'm having a hard time.
Wayside. Well,
So maybe that is what it is because it's like I personally, as a, what did we call me?
Tastemaker?
Yeah, but I can't say that about myself because it's just ridiculous.
Oh, so you want us to fill in the blanks?
I don't. Well, no, what was the. What
oh,
was
that
the,
was good. Trendsetter.
Trendsetter?
There was like a smaller version that I could maybe get behind that wasn't so like.
A bite maker?
Yeah, I'm a cake maker.
Cake maker.
Anyway, as like a, you know, a public figure or whatever you want to call it, like, I can't get on Bumble. I can't, you know? And if like people in Nashville saw me on Tinder, they'd be like, Ruthie Collins, get off Tinder. You're crazy, you know?
I think that's an internal self insecurity thing.
Probably. I have many.
I will say that I have recently gotten off of all of it, but I not because of any certain thing other than I'm just over it. But I have been on it but here's my perspective on it. Because not that I defend it because I need it or want it.
I know so many people it's worked for, though.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't. But here's the thing. At the end of the day, regardless, well, I mean, but that goes for everything, right? It's just a tool.
Yeah.
Like, it used to really make me kind of, I get passionate about a lot of things. But when someone is like, oh, Tinder's just a hookup. It's just a hookup
it's
app.
It's not, though.
And I'm like, hold on, sweetheart. If you're hooking up, that's because you like to hook up. Like, that ain't Tinder's fault.
No.
Like, at the end of the day, you didn't have to respond.
No.
You didn't have to do anything.
You didn't have to
show up. But it is our way of putting blame or fault on something. And honestly, regardless, you can call it Tinder, Bumble, or a flower. I don't care what the app's called. At the end of the day, if it's something that makes you have an opportunity to meet somebody that you wouldn't normally cross paths with.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Like,
well,
that's it.
That's
well, that's
great.
What they claim to be. Like, they're not saying find your soulmate on Tinder is not their low hashtag.
Well, and the only reason I was excited about it, especially in Nashville, now not so much anymore, but like when it first came out, was that when you live somewhere, maybe not just Nashville, but you live somewhere, you end up in the same running crowd.
Yeah.
So either you have either been out with or you know somebody who has and you feel like you never meet. So this, when it first came out, it was like, you have this many mutual friends or none at all. And if I had none at all, I was like, there's an opportunity that someone's outside a social running group that you potentially meet that we obviously have not or will not. Right. And that's all it was. That's all it was. Anything you do from there, that's on you. That ain't the app. That ain't Facebook. It could be anything, right? So, I mean, there's my opinions on quote unquote dating apps.
Yeah.
So it's a tool to potentially meet something. But once you meet someone, it's back on you, right? Like that's
still interactions.
But you are saying something that is hit. But I guess there is always a perception tied to things, which is what you're saying.
Well,
if someone saw me
for Tinder, but I feel like people would be like, Ruthie.
They form an opinion.
Yep.
Here's my, I mean, I'm trying to think of how many of your friends would know. Are they all on Tinder?
But I like anytime I've ever looked at Tinder on some of my friends' stuff, who, some of them are, like, and I see someone I know, it's always that.
So all your guy friends would be going through and be like, Ruthie.
It's always
what are you doing?
Maybe. I mean, they would all, because my friends are awesome.
If they see you on it, they're on it too.
Yeah, totally. Well,
that's kind of why, that's
why I'm
like.
But so you know, it's like whenever I see someone like that I know, I'm always like, oh, like, I don't know. It's just, there is some sort of thing where you're like, part of me is like, awesome. Then the other part of me is like, let me see what your bio says. This is so much, or, you know, I've actually created bios for my guy friends before and like picked which pictures and, you know, oh, this should be.
I'm about to open up my account. Should we just get judged real quick?
I bet there's like a service you can do for that.
Yeah. Let's do it. I'm actually so into that.
We'll do that after.
You know what Match has, which is weird, is that commercial that he's like, you just missed Steve on the corner. And I'm like,
that's freaky.
What?
No.
Yeah. Have you seen that commercial? The guy's like, you just missed, like, he pulls up her profile or whatever. And just like, he's like, you just missed Steve on, you know, 35th and 8th or whatever.
Location.
And like, you're like, what?
Oh, that's where it's going. Like, and what, it's already there.
Do
but,
people turn around and go back for Steve? Like, oh, and hey, Steve, opening my line? Match. Yeah.
By the way.
I got, do you guys watch a Black Mirror?
Yes.
Oh, the one on social media where you get graded everywhere you go. I'm terrified.
Yeah, but how far we are?
Not far.
At all.
Not I think far. We're almost there on a lot of things that people thought we wouldn't be.
Do you guys think that there'll be a backlash and it'll all go away?
Technology?
Not technology as a whole, but like social media. Don't you think there's going to get to a point where, or at least like maybe one society of people is just going to be like, here's where you go. It's like West Haven for wives, you know? Like, it's like, here's where you go if you
social
if you
media free
live.
Zone.
Yeah, social like, media free zones. Like no smoking. Like where there's like smoking places in the airport.
That'd be actually
it's going
to cool.
be like that.
Well, I don't know because we're so intertwined now with business and work, right?
So,
instead of it just being social, what we do, if it's tied to your media. Business,
right.
you're if it's in working hours, but then again, what we're talking about as a personal brand, you don't have an 8-to-5 anymore.
Nope.
Now you are 24/7. That's kind of the point, right?
There are restaurants in New York that don't let you like have phones because they realized how much extra time
people are
staying there, taking pictures, social media, talking versus just sitting down, eating and then leaving.
Oh,
and so that's happened. And then, I mean, hell, you go downtown, you're not going to get a signal anyway.
That's true. Although, so I say that, I'm like, how cool would it to be like, have social, you know, social media free zones, but then I'm like, but I could not live without Uber.
Right.
No, oh, yeah. True.
You know, so it's like these things do, like you said,
they become integrated
in your life and you're like, this is something I use on a daily basis. Even if it's not like, that doesn't feel like work to me, but that's still like a technology on my phone that I use.
Well, how many artists have I heard, bigger artists, that want the crowd to enjoy the show, not have phones?
Yeah.
But then again, you're sitting there as an artist, especially up-and-coming artist. You're like, but more people, you need to share, spread this, that, and the other. So, you know, you take a comedian who's already established, like, what's his name? It just came back. Chappelle.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Chappelle. Like, if you go to any of his show now, no phones, no social media, no nothing, which is a phenomenal experience. Mm-hmm. But guess what? He doesn't need your money either.
No. Right.
He doesn't need any more advertising. Mm-hmm. So he can do that.
Yeah.
Now, somebody just starting is going, bring whatever you want because I need you to share it or I need you to do whatever. So where does that, I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, Snapchat now has a feature where if you like take your fingers and pull out, you can, it'll show a map of where exactly all your friends are.
Oh gosh.
And it has a heat map now that of where people are snapping. So if I like, if you pull out on your phone and like, you can't see it obviously, but basically just like, instead of zooming in, you do the opposite.
Yeah.
It'll pull up a map and everybody's got a Bitmoji now and you can turn it on and see exactly where they are. But then there's like a heat map all throughout the country of where people are taking Snapchats. And so you can see their Snapchat and you don't even know these people, but it'll be like red if it's on Broadway and it's just random people Snapchats. And it's like, I mean, that's
a lot of stuff's going on,
crazy to me, but also not surprising. And people are just willing to say, here's where I'm at all the time forever.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to back it up just a little bit because I just thought of something that it's like, so a metaphor for what we were just talking about, like content, you know, documenting creepy feelings on Instagram. So Tom Petty just died.
Yeah.
Big blow. So sad. Probably hit me the biggest of any of the artists that have died. And I had no idea what to say, but I felt like I had to say something, but I didn't have words because I was mourning, you know, my like hero and my biggest influencer. And, but I knew I had to say something. And it was like, well, and here's creepy stuff. I don't want to just put a thing up if I feel like I have to say something. And I waited until it was maybe 24 hours after. I was like, I got to figure out. I just got to go through it a little bit before I talk about it online. But you feel like you have to because everybody's posting about it, right? So then what do? I go to the mural in East Nashville and I take a picture at the Tom Petty mural and post that. Because let's be honest, mm-hmm. I knew it would get more likes instead of posting a picture of him. Mm-hmm. That's creepy. I feel weird about that. But I knew I wanted to say something about him. I knew I wanted to honor some, you know, him. But I also knew that if it's going to go on my feed, it has to have some sort of value as content as well. I don't like that. I want to live in a world where it's like I can just post a picture of Tom Petty and not feel like I have to create an artistic moment.
Well, I'll take it one step further and one step back further from maybe where you are, because what you're saying makes total sense. But, you know, if you're going to mention, you know, Tom Petty, you kind of mentioned the Vegas incident as well. And what this is what I don't know if I like, the internal guilt of that it's even in my mind in the first place that I should post something and or if I do, does it need to be the same thing that somebody else has already done. But here's my point. Like I ended up not doing it, but not because I didn't feel and wasn't affected by it. I almost felt as if I didn't. That was kind of my honor. It's weird.
No,
I didn't want anybody to think that I had to post. So you know that I thought what I did is not post because I do, and I don't have to post.
No,
about it.
That's I love that. And that's my weird. Social media team. But it shouldn't be. My social media team on 9/11, for example, they were like, "Do you know anyone that was like there personally affected?" I was like, "I don't," and they were like, "Let's not post today." And I was like, okay, are you sure? Because I feel like everyone's posting. And if I don't post, am I coming off as unpatriotic? And they were like, we don't want you to seem disingenuous. And it's like every Veterans Day, every Memorial Day, like, of course you want to honor these people and celebrate them and their national day. But at the same time, it can feel disingenuous when you're just like, it's Father's Day. I don't love my dad if I don't post a picture of him. It's like, no, I freaking love my dad. Like a lot, you know?
Right.
It's
such
a weird thing.
It is. Right?
Yeah.
Or you didn't go to the gym unless it's on Instagram.
100%.
I called someone a year ago to wish them a happy birthday. And she goes, "Thank you. Can you do that on Facebook?"
Oh, I thought you were going to say, and she was like, "Stop. Thank you. Do you know that you're the only person who called me instead of putting it on Facebook?"
I guess. So.
I feel weird about that.
I was like, I was trying to be the one person that
didn't do it on Facebook.
That called you just because it's like, I care about you.
Yeah, have a connected
moment. And it's like, I don't post pictures of me and my mom being like, "Hey, Mother's Day." And like me and my dad's never looked at Facebook.
Yeah.
So like, what value is that to him? Like, this is his day. Like, my mom will emoji it to death, but that's great. But like,
and I've tried to find the different platforms where that makes sense. So like, I'll post a picture of my dad on Facebook because he's on Facebook.
Yeah,
he's gonna see it.
That's great.
But I'm not necessarily gonna like interrupt a pattern I have going on my grid on Instagram if it's not like visually consistent or important, you know. But that's weird.
I always think, why am I posting this? Is this for me or other people?
Okay, so I read this amazing book. You guys have to read it. It's called Song of Style, and it's this book written by like a very influential blogger, and she was one of the first people to really break out on Instagram. And regardless of if you're a blogger, if you're in this for fashion, it's just really interesting stuff about Instagram in particular, but social media. And she says that you're supposed to write a mission statement for your whatever you're doing, and that every time that you're about to post on a platform, you have to go, does this embody at least most of my mission statement? Because she's every once in a while, you're just going to want to post a picture of In-N-Out Burgers. And maybe that is not, you know, close to your heart of what you're trying to do, you know, but it might be fun. And that's part of your thing. That's why they made stories. Yes, which is wonderful.
It is wonderful. I think. But it's just another avenue now that I have to think about. Yeah. Which, by the way, is formatted a little bit different than the actual post.
It's so true. Oh, which is annoying. But I mean, I love that because it's like every once in a while I wanted to post, like, you know, I had a funny moment where we were about to get in a 12-hour van ride and my guitar player had really spicy Indian food the night before and is chugging Pepto-Bismol as we're getting in the van. And I'm like, that's funny. I want to post that. But I'm not going to put that in my feed. But that's perfect for a story, you know? So I do enjoy it on most of the, you know, most of the time.
Well, can you just stay for the next 5 or 6 hours and we'll continue this? I do want to get to these questions. This has been awesome. Yeah. Really. The end of the day, wow. But you do have to answer these three questions.
You got it.
There's Let's not go. A wrong answer, but okay. Kevin will be judging you.
I have a spreadsheet.
Or grading.
Where I calculate how good your score is or not. Like, it's all on a rating scale.
Oh, great. I feel so judged.
You should. It's called less judged to most judged.
I already know which one I'm going to get.
The most.
More judges.
The most. Well, I feel like we've been talking about a lot of life lessons anyway. Just did it in a very current way. So that's awesome. But if you could have coffee, which I know you love, with yourself, your younger self, right when you first started pursuing, well, anything but music and kind of your passion, what would you tell yourself?
It would be threefold. First, I would say, get that cream and sugar out of that cup, girl. And second,
that hurts my
heart.
I have a little cream and sugar.
I know, but I drink so much coffee. I had to give it up for that reason because it was so many calories. But really, I would say, hey, if you knew that you would be in this town for a decade before you really even started to accomplish what you feel like you're here to do, would you stay? And then I would say, don't answer that.
Okay. Interesting.
Because I just hope and pray that looking back, if I had known everything that I know now and how long it would take and how hard it would be, that I would say yes. But I don't want to know because this is my journey and this is what I've been through and I wouldn't change it. But it is interesting to me that it's like, if someone had said to me in that day, hey, you're going to wait tables for 8 years before you get your first publishing deal.
Yeah.
Would I be like, I'm going home. Mm. Waiting tables sucks. I don't think I would. I don't think I would, but I don't want to know because that's what I had to go through and that's my journey and I wouldn't change it, you know? So I don't know if that makes any sense, but
it does make sense. I'm sitting there trying to wrap my head around.
But I think about that like a lot when I think
your
about,
younger self saying, okay, I'm not going to answer and then seeing how it influences her path that is now just, you. So
that's, you know, that's just what my story was. And there's so many people with that story, you know, and there's so many people who had shorter versions of that story, but it's just my story. And
can I answer for your younger self? I don't know if I am answering for your younger self. I'm answering for people because usually my follow-up question is, do you think your younger self would listen? Mm-hmm. That's like the follow-up question, which you just said, well, even if they did, I don't want the answer. So, you know, but I think it's like anything else, right? Like regardless of statistics, like taking the emotion out of it, it doesn't seem to affect the results. But like if you take marriage, for instance, like I don't think anybody walks down the aisle thinking that it's not going to work out, right? Even though they can know statistics, right? They can know that. And I think all of us at some point think that, well, okay, I get it, but I or we will be different, right? And I think that applies in most career tracks when you're starting. Like you can know the statistics. Like I'm sure even when you first started, you knew that, hey, this might be a long road. And I know that most people have this story and you may even agree with it, but like subconsciously somewhere you're going,
doesn't matter. Don't care.
It'll be different with me though. Right.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know if I'm saying that as a bad thing. I'm almost thinking that maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because if you didn't have that, I'm different, maybe I'm special, would most people ever embark on that journey?
I think if you don't have that, you don't embark on it 100%.
Exactly.
You're right. Even if it's not like in a, you know, you can still be humble about it.
Yeah.
But at least you have to know, like, I have something to say and it's going to be of value to someone out there.
Because your why is big enough. That's what you know. You know your why.
Yep.
Perfect.
But I think that my younger self would be like, go away. You're silly. You know, like, it'll be great. You know, because A, like, my whole life I've just been taught to buck up and nobody cares about your feelings.
Yeah.
So I probably would have been like, whatever, fine. I'll be fine. I got this, you know? And then I would also be like, but no, it's going to be great. Cause I'm like, always try to be so positive about everything.
Yeah.
But I probably would have been like, you're wrong. This is awesome. You know? And it is awesome. It's
cheerleader,
you know,
shoulders.
Yeah. Cheerleader shoulders would definitely come on, but it is awesome. And I love my story because that's always how it's been for me. It's never been, you know, I was the girl who didn't get into the High School Musical when she had been asked to try out for the lead in ninth grade. And that was hard as a ninth grader. And then I was a girl who all I wanted to do is go to Belmont. And guess what? Belmont didn't let me in as a singer. Do you know who I have a record deal with?
Stop.
Curb. It's the Mike Curb School of Music. And my mom from my little tiny town couldn't handle that. So what did she do? She called up the vocal director who was in charge of my audition and asked her to tell her why. And she said, your daughter has no commercial appeal as a singer. Quote, unquote.
Really?
I am signed to Curb Records. And that was the lady who was the vocal director of the Mike Curb School of Music. If that isn't your why, I mean, it's just like,
wow. Yeah.
Just,
that's cool.
Just keep going, you know? It's like, but I knew that, you know, but mine is also different because I never like grew up going, I want to play like arenas. Yeah. But it wasn't because I didn't. It was because I didn't think that that was a possibility for me because I never, you know, I think you grow up in Nashville and you're like, I want to be a singer. Okay, great. Let's get you into voice lessons. You should learn how to play guitar. Like maybe you can go to school for songwriting. Like, but being from a tiny town in Western New York, there's no path.
Yeah.
So you're just like, I just know I want to sing. I want to write, you know, but you have no idea how that's going to work. Mm-hmm. So Nashville for me wasn't like, I'm moving to Nashville to be a superstar. It was like, I'm moving to Nashville because I love music and I don't know how this is going to work, but I know that's what I'm here for. Like music is the love of my life and I don't know what that's going to mean, but I know I'm going to fight for it. And
love
I am lucky enough to, you know, get to the point where it's like, oh, now you can actually do it. Like for real. That's just the coolest thing.
That is cool. What about the best advice someone else has ever given you?
This is weird because this relates to touring, but it's bigger than that for me as well. I remember talking to a guy that I was went to college with, and he had just started his touring career and his band was doing great, and he was talking to me about Garth Brooks. Because this guy that my buddy,
small artist,
little guy. I don't know if you've ever heard of him.
Barth
Cooks. So this guy that I knew was, you know, the opening act for a big, you know, it was like a big pop group at the time, and this is like early 2000s, and he was helping all the roadies and all the, you know, tech guys load out all of their gear at the end of the night, and they were like, this is so nice. You don't have to do this. Like you're in the band. You don't have to help us load out every single night. You know, this is months and months long tour. And he was like, no, I want to, like, you know, you guys need help and I'm here and I'll help. And they were like, you know, the only artist who's ever done this was Garth Brooks.
That's awesome.
And, you know, this friend of mine, like I loved that story so much. And he also was just like, the other thing that he told me to do was like, learn everybody's names. Everybody's names.
They say that about Garth too.
And use their names when you walk by them. Say hello. You know, so it's powerful. I just played this show, the Biggie in Massachusetts, and the security guard who kept letting me in and out of the barrier's name was Debbie. Mm-hmm. You know, learn Debbie's name. Talk to Debbie. Because the promoter, obviously you got to talk to the promoter. You know, Sam was great. But Debbie's never going to forget that we had a great talk about her son and bonded over coffee, whatever it is. It's like, I'm a people person, so like I get joy out of that.
Yeah.
You know, but just like ask people their names.
Yeah, that's cool. It's a great piece of advice.
Well,
and names are powerful too.
It's not just for touring. It's like for sure. Wherever you are, you know, learn your waitress's name and talk to her if she wants, you know, or leave her alone because sometimes we really want to be left alone too.
That's awesome. Well, gosh, I'm really excited about this next one then.
Dear.
Finish this statement. And it would really, you don't have to do it if you don't want to, but if you could repeat very dramatically, Donald, silent pause. If you really knew me though, pause a little bit longer, you would know.
Oh, this one's so hard because I do feel like I'm an open book and that gets me in trouble sometimes. I mean.
It can be funny. Didn't have to be like, I was going to tell her mine, wouldn't I? Yeah. I say it a lot on the show.
It's just not very interesting, but like if you...
You gotta do it dramatic though. Donald.
If you really knew me, you would know that I am a, I'm not gonna say the word, mess. Like I am a freaking mess. I have nothing together. Everyone thinks I'm good at life.
Not according to your social media.
I suck at life. Yeah. Get drunk and cry is my like...
like dirty
life
mess?
Story. No.
Like clothes
I'm
everywhere?
Not dirty. I'm messy, but I'm not dirty. No, I just mean like...
Oh.
I'm just a mess. I'm, you know, like...
I don't...
Just like everybody else. It's like, I don't know. I don't have it together. Everyone's always like, especially my family, I'm the baby, four girls, and they all call me with their dramas. Mm. And I'm like, y'all, when is it my turn to have a freak out? Like, and my mom's like, nope, no, we need, you know, and I'm like, but mom, you realize that I'm supposed to be the crazy musician who left home and like,
yeah,
needs to go to rehab. And she's like, nope, no, we can't take that. Your sisters are giving me enough grief. And it's like, yeah, I know, me too. And they're wonderful and I love them so much. But yeah, that's not very interesting, but it's like,
no, it is.
You know,
they call that, I guess there's another term, it's a hot mess or not a, or just a mess.
I'm a mess.
Okay. Hey, I'm on that same train, you know, with you. I, at the end of the day,
it's like all the things that you feel like you are. Like, I take pride on feeling like I'm like a strong, independent woman. And it's like, I'm not really. I'm super weak at a lot of times and
yeah,
call my dad all the time. And, you know, but
if it makes you feel any better.
Yeah.
We had another guest that he was like, if you really knew me, you knew I was nice. And we were like, oh.
You've been nice.
Okay. And so like, don't feel like that's such a crazy thing, but I think
because it's, he actually admitted, he goes, he, I have this, I'm very direct, I sometimes, I, or I most of the time put off this, I'm not, I don't care, this, he goes, but I really,
I think it was a great thing, yeah, but it was that he awesome, wanted to say,
yeah,
he's, that's like, so interesting,
I know, it's right,
but he wasn't like a mean guy,
no,
he must feel like he is a little bit though, he must have a little
phenomenal talent,
yeah, he's really good,
yeah,
it's funny though. We've gotten some, you know, they're all over the place.
I think that's just like I said, that's really hard for me because I am really passionate about, because I had that moment we were talking about earlier where a few years ago where my career started to finally work. And it was because I just started being myself, you know, and it was like, oh, so I don't have to sound like Martina McBride. Because I feel like so many girls were always so judged on like who can sing the highest, the loudest, who can belt the biggest. I don't have that kind of voice, but my whole life I thought I was supposed to. Mm. But when I finally was like, oh, I can talk about Pinterest in interviews, like I can talk about the fact that I get drunk and cry sometimes, like this is okay.
Yeah.
That's when things started working. And mm-hmm. So that's why that's a hard question for me, because it's like, no, I'm an open book. And
what's crazy is like, that's some of the best advice we've heard from mothers. And why is it like the hardest thing to do?
It's
and
so
it's
hard.
Like, to, it's the hardest thing in the world to be you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you know what all it is? It just takes age. Because when mm-hmm. I was 19 years old, like, I mean, I will tell you a funny story, and this is gross, but oh well. For instance, we just did 5 music video shoots, and one of them was at the beach. And I had been on a 5-day juice cleanse before this because I'm going to be in a bathing suit. And granted, it was a full-piece bathing suit, which is important later in the story. and I had shorts on. So I wasn't like in a bikini, but, you know, I had a bathing suit on. So 5-day juice cleanse. We get to the shoot. I'm feeling great. And they order Thai food for lunch.
Yeah.
And I haven't eaten solid food in 5 days. And this Thai food was so good because I hadn't been eating. And I was just like gorging on this food. And then I was like, what is this hot chili oil? This is amazing. And I just pour it all over it. And about 5 minutes after the lunch break, we're again starting your face. We're about to start shooting again. And I'm like, guys, I'm going to be right back. And I just run to the bathroom, which is a public beach bathroom. Also, ladies know I'm in a full piece bathing suit.
Yeah.
So you're basically about to poop your pants naked. In a public bathroom.
Naked.
So the thing is, like, if I was 19 or 17 and that happened to me, I would have to move away. Mm. I would have to change school district.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, y'all, this really funny thing happened to me the other day. I almost pooped my pants.
That's
in a music
recorded
video.
Forever.
Yeah, I mean, because at some point you just stop caring. Yeah. And it's like, of course I care what people think, but like, I'm just going to be okay with like, that's funny, dude. You know, like.
Hey, listen, a lot of people spend a lot of times like, or even depressing times like, because they're getting older. I'm like, celebrate getting older.
It's the best.
That's the best part about getting older, right? So, I love that. So that's anyway, awesome.
That's my pooping my pants almost story.
Love it. Yeah. We should have another segment. Tell me about
the
your
time you
poop
almost
in
your
pants.
Poopy pants time.
Moment.
With Rudy.
That actually, we were having a conversation with a guy who picked us up from the airport for that show, and somehow pooping your pants came up. I swear to God, I do not talk about it all the time. My guitar player wanted to
know
what actually constitutes pooping your pants. And I was like, well, I think you have to have poop in your pants. He's like, cool. I've never pooped my pants. Okay, I was like, great, just... me neither. So weird. Now it's twice in 1 week and I feel like maybe there's an issue here. I don't know. Anyway.
Will you please call in so we can record the next time that happens?
Well, I will.
From now on.
I will.
We want to know.
Put you on speaker.
Maybe.
Oh, I was on a different path. No, okay. I was like, call in the next time she's about to poop her pants. Why would she do that?
Guys, you say that like I'm a big poopy pantser. I've literally never done
You're the
it.
One who said the conversations come up regularly in the last week.
Twice. In 1 week. Okay. Well, maybe because I was telling the Thai food story. Who knows? Maybe that's it. Anyway.
Oh, can we transition into music?
Lovely.
I want to hear about your song. Set it up and then we'll like break and then I want you to play for us.
Yeah.
Is that cool?
I would love to. It fits right in with everything we've been talking about.
Which part?
the vulnerability part, not the poopy pants part.
Okay.
Perfect. Got a diaper.
So I know it kind of fits into that. Like, did you write it by yourself? Or?
I wrote this song with my buddy Luke Sheets. And actually, I've never told this story. I don't think, maybe only once. But I was in a relationship at the time and it wasn't going well. And it was my birthday. And you know how when you kind of have, like, this happens to me all the time, I think, in this industry where you have to, like, push your emotions down because you have to play a show and you can't feel the way you're needing to feel in that moment. And that was the situation was, except for it was like, it was my birthday and we were going out with a bunch of people. And I was like, oh, and I was telling my buddy the story about this like 2 days later. And I was like, yeah, I just knew I was going to get drunk and cry. And he's like, I'm sorry. Did you just say that? Like, it was like a, what is that? Like a verb or something or action or whatever. And I was like, well, yeah.
Yeah.
I did. He was like, do you do that a lot? And I was like, no, I don't do it a lot. But, you know, as a girl, like, you know when it's going to happen. And I knew there was no way I was going to be able to go out with friends and have a couple drinks without getting emotional.
Right. You know?
And he's like, we're writing that right now. And so, yeah, we wrote this song. And I was like, I really love that. But I will never play that for anyone. Because, wow, what an embarrassing, humiliating moment where you're like, I'm going to get drunk and cry. Yeah. You know, that's pretty pathetic, I thought, you know, in the moment. And then
until you realize everybody
does it. Yeah. Yeah. And you're just, it just happens sometimes. And I played it at a show and the girls were like, oh my gosh, that's my life story. And the guys were like, do you need a hug? And I was like, great.
Perfect.
And then my record label was like, so this is going to be the title of your album. And I was like, whoa.
Right. You went from like,
to the drunken cry girl.
That's awesome.
But then it was like, well, hey.
All right. You ready, Ruthie Collins?
Ready.
Great. This is her song. Hey, let's get drunk and cry.
Let's do it.
The telephone's ringing, Patty keeps singing, go and put your red dress on. We walk into a party right up to the bar, we cheers, the night is young. Just as the buzz is kicking in, I see you and her walking in, and I feel it coming. I'm gonna get drunk and cry, lock myself in a bathroom with a bottle of wine. I wasn't supposed to see you, so just walk on. She's so pretty, you're not with me, now I'm about to fall apart. We'll talk about bedtime in the night, I'm trying to hide from a broken heart. You had to go lean in, brush your hair back and then you kissed her. I'm gonna get drunk and cry, myself in a bathroom with a bottle of wine. I wasn't supposed to see you, So just walk on by, don't look me in the eye, just let me be a mess tonight. I'm gonna get drunk and cry. Oh, but I'm gonna be alright. Yeah. I climb in a cab and go back home. Sit on the floor all alone. And the tears start coming. And so I get drunk and I cry. And I lock myself in my bathroom with this bottle of wine. I wasn't supposed to see you. I'm gonna get drunk and cry. Myself in the bathroom. Oh, but I'm gonna be alright. Na-na-na, na-na.
Awesome. It's kind of weird to cheer for, you know, that like heartbreak story, but it's a great song, you know. You're like, man, I'm so glad you're just
but
sad
I'm gonna be
and
okay. It's okay. Yeah. That's the point. Thanks, bud. No, it's like, yeah, it sucks right now, but we're going to be okay. And sometimes you have those moments. So
it's okay to not be okay.
100%.
Like that. Ruthie, you're awesome. Thanks for coming in.
Oh,
thanks for hanging out.
This was such a great time. Thank you for having me.
Will you come again?
Anytime.
At some point?
Sure.
Are you sure? Wait, say that again. Do you mind coming back sometime?
I would love to come back sometime.
Kevin?
Check.
Non-legal counsel?
Legally binding.
Do you need me to like sign
you have to it's come right. back now. Cool. Yeah. On request.
You got it on tape.
Yeah.
It's actually law.
Yeah, that's Kevin yeah. took one law class in college.
Look, Ruthie, I took multiple minutes of law class.
There you go. I
so
trust everything
I'm pretty
you say
much
legally.
A lawyer. And watch out for the subpoena.
Love it.
Well, yeah, Ruthie, excited to watch. And, you know, we have to have that on recording because we know you're going to be really big. And then it's going to be hard to get you back.
Wow. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Let's do it again.
Cool.
This has been Hits Collecting Dust. Please support this podcast and the artists featured by going to iTunes, subscribing, and leaving us a review.